Sins take you away from Allah. Salah takes you back to Allah. Leave the sins, perform your salah. Salah is the gift of Mi'raj. Salah is the gift of Mi'raj.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Many respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program The Gift of Mi'raj. Alhamdulillah, today we'll be talking about focus in Salah. What is meaning of khushu and khudu? What Islam guides us and what is concentration and focus in Salah. Be with us from start to end, immense amount of knowledge inshallah azza wa jal, you'll be learning. If you are worried that when you stand in Salah, you get distracted, you do not get focus, you do not get concentration inshallah, we'll tell you a few ways. How can you get focus in Salah? We will tell you a few accounts of our pious predecessors inshallah, how they used to read Salah, how they used to offer Salah, and what was level of their concentration and their focus. There is a lot to learn inshallah. But before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, gives us a beautiful mindset to make good intentions before performing any permissible task or any good deed. As I am presenting this program, I make this intention inshallah, I will present this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're watching, you can make this intention, you'll watch from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge onto others too. And remember, the more intentions one makes for a particular task or a particular deed, the higher the reward he can attain. He can multiply his reward. He can make as many good intentions as possible for a particular task. Respect viewers, Alhamdulillah, today once again joins Muhammad Waqas Attari in this beautiful program. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Waqas, how are you?
Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ala kulli hal. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much once again giving your precious time in this beautiful program, The Gift of Mi'raj. Waqas, in last few episodes, we covered rewards and benefits of Salah. We covered the fada'il and excellences of offering Salah with congregation, jama'at, and fada'il of masajid. Inshallah, today we'll be talking about focus in Salah. What does khushu and khudu mean? And what does Islam guide us in this regard? And inshallah, first of all, I think it will be a good idea if we talk about the definition of khushu and khudu first. So, because this term, we're going to repeat again and again, what is khushu, what is khudu, and a focus and concentration in a normal meaning, but what ulama have defined it, could you please start from there?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Khushu is what by is the state of your heart,
okay,
and the acts of your body in Salah, okay, when you are in Salah. So what is the state of our heart when we are reading Salah? And what is the one when we read Salah, we know, okay, we have to stand. Most of us, we know how to do the acts of our Salah. But right, in our heart, where is our heart presence or not in Salah? And the ulama, they have gone on to specify this in different categories as well.
Okay.
So within the heart is that we should imagine that we are standing in the majesty in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Okay.
Some of the scholars,
the majesty of Allah is before us.
The majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal is before us. So in other words, some ulama say that read Salah in such a state that you are seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. If you cannot have that in your mind that you are seeing Allah, at least know that Allah is watching you. So that we should have at all times.
Yeah.
But especially in Salah we're reading, know that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you. Allah Azza wa Jal is listening to you. So your state of your heart should be in that way.
Subhanallah.
Your body should be that, don't look here and there in Salah, stand up straight in Salah, and don't play with your clothes and your hair during Salah as well. So again, you know, it's heart and body as well, not just your body. So it's very important when we stand and we say Allahu Akbar, we say Allah is the greatest, then have total focus in your Salah and focus on Allah Azza wa Jal.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Respective words of Madani Shayn, we have learned about khushu. What is khushu? SubhanAllah, the state of our heart and our apparent body's action. Both are important, inner and outwardly and inwardly. Both attention and focus and concentration is required when you are offering Salah. That's what you meant. And respective of Madani Shayn, the important point is that our heart should be attached in Salah. We have such sort of focus that we are not thinking about dunya, we are not thinking about business or other matters. And we should be focusing, and we should have that focus, as Muballigh of Dawat Islami said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, and we are presenting ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that attention and focus is in our mind, definitely we will have better khushu and khudu in our salah. Respect views of Madani Channel, there's a beautiful ayah of Quran in Surah Al-Mu'minun, part 18. It is mentioned, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Here, the word khashi'un, this is also from khushu, right? The focus, right? Subhanallah. This is mentioned in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, that those, they are believers, they offer salah with khushu and khudu. So this is important, and Quran also talks about such people, subhanallah, those, they have such kind of salah, which is with focus, which is with concentration. For them is the glad tiding of falah. Subhanallah.
There's another beautiful ayah that I would like to present, is in is ayah number 142 of Surah An-Nisa, translation from Tanzul Iman. And when they stand up for prayer, they do it unwillingly. So unwillingly, the ulama here, they have mentioned in Tafsir Surah Al-Jinan, not offering salah or only offering salah in the presence of people.
Okay.
For example, I go to the masjid, you know, I look very pious, I stand nicely, properly, you know, I read my sunnahs, I do my nawafil afterwards as well. When I sit down, I might do my tasbih, people watching me, mashallah, what a pious person he is.
But very calmly, very nicely, slowly.
You know how ideally we should be, that's how we do it in the masjid. And when you go in the masjid, you see people, you know, taking their time, mashallah, reading lovely namaz. Everybody, you think, mashallah, is a very pious person. But how, when I go home, or when I'm not in front of others, how do I read my salah? You know, am I missing my sunnahs at home? Am I missing my nawafil at home? Am I rushing my prayers at home?
Yeah.
When I go into ruku at home, how am I? And when I go into ruku in the masjid, how am I as well?
So this also comes in khushu.
Khushu as well, and showing off as well in front of people.
Yeah.
So we need to see that however I read my salah at home, that's how I should read in the masjid. Or ideally, how is in the masjid, bring that home as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we see today that people, when we're in front of others, we're a totally different person. And when we're at home and we read by ourselves, we're a totally different person. We rush our salah. You know, when we're at home, we might not be doing the proper sitting positions in tashahud, or we're doing sujood, how are our feet? But when we're in the masjid, we make sure our feet are proper. Somebody might look at my feet.
Mm.
Somebody might be looking at my ruku. Is my ruku proper as well?
Mm.
So here the scholars have mentioned that when offering salah in privacy, offering salah with humility of the heart and presence of people, and hastily in privacy, or getting into different thoughts during salah.
Mm.
In the masjid, we might not be thinking here and there because people are watching us.
Mm.
In salah, when we're at home, where are we thinking? Where is our thoughts?
Allah.
We mentioned earlier that think that Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm seeing Allah. If you can't do that, Allah is watching me.
Mm-hmm.
That you are in the presence, in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. But firstly, unfortunately, over 90% of Muslims don't read salah today.
Mm-hmm.
Those who do, how many actually have khushu and khuzu and attention and have that mindset that I'm in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal today?
Sure.
We are thinking, hey, there, I've got to pick my kids up from school, I've got to go to work, I've got this shopping to do, I've got these things to be done in my house. We don't have attention in our salah, which is very unfortunate.
Qasmi, the point you've brought into discussion is really very important. Look, when a person is offering salah and he is doing khushu, right? He is reading with all its focus and concentration. Why? Because people are watching him. Now, how bad intention it is. That same salah when he is offering before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, okay, and people are not watching him. At that moment in time, he's not taking care of his salah. He's not focusing. He's not concentrating. Now, what a bad intention it is. That you are thinking about people. This is something, is a very bad intention, that in front of people, you are showing that you are having focus in salah. Whereas alone, you're not doing khushu. So that means you're not having khushu in your salah.
There's many
that
examples.
Whatever khushu you've got is for the people, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Many other examples is one, but is for example, you know, we read at home, how many of us will put the imam shifun at home and read our salah? Allah is watching me. It's mentioned in the waqiyat, there's an account of Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi, that even when he used to read salah You know, he used to make sure, he hardly ever used to register to be in Salah.
Whenever, especially Fard Salah.
He used to be his Imam al-Sharif.
He would be very Imam.
And for example, when we at home, how many of us wear Imam al-Sharif? Try to put a topi on. Some of us might not even wear a topi and read Salah. When we go to the masjid, make sure we dress nicely. Imam al-Sharif's on, put some attar on. But why are we doing that then? When we go to the masjid, different. When we at home, how many of us put attar on for Salah? How many of us wear nice clothing? We have mentioned previously that people like Sayyidina Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, they used to have very expensive clothing just to wear in Salah. Remember, while we're here on the point of like dressing and clothing in Salah, remember one other point to mention here is that, for example, you know, when we go to the masajid, how do we dress there?
Yeah.
You know, when if I invite you to my house or to a minister's house or prime minister's house, how do we dress?
Yeah.
Put our best suits on, best polish our shoes.
True.
But when we go to the masjid, unfortunately, you see many people today, they're going in their pajamas. The time of Fajr or time of Isha you go,
sure.
You see people in their pajamas. Where are we going? In the house of Allah,
Allahu
Akbar. To the King of the Kings, presenting Allah. Our court, and we are speaking to Allah, and we dress like this.
Allahu
so who are we giving more priority to?
Sure.
Should we dress better for Allah Azza wa Jalla or for these prime ministers here?
Sure.
We should make sure when we dress and we go to the masjid, we dress appropriately, we dress beautifully, we are going to read Salah. And the other thing is that many of us, the clothes we wear, that, you know, t-shirts and bottoms or jeans, when we go into sajda, our lower backs are showing, you know, which could, it's showing our sitr as well, which could break our salah. So we need to make sure that we don't dress inappropriately when going to the masjid as well.
Yeah, another important point is, Waqasbi, we should think that if we feel ashamed, if we wear any dress and we go out in front of people, if we have got a feeling of shame in front of people, that I don't feel like comfortable going in front of people in such dress, that dress we shouldn't wear in Salah.
Of course.
Because we are presenting ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Irrespective of Madani Shell, we are talking about focus. We are talking about khushu and khudu. There are so many accounts of our pious predecessors which explain us what is the proper way of offering Salah. And what is focus and what is concentration when it comes to offer Salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waqasbi, any beautiful account could you please mention from the accounts of our pious predecessors, which explains us the true meaning and essence of focus, concentration, khushu and khudu.
There's a beautiful account of the Sahaba Ikram alayhi midwan. Once they were coming back from a battle,
okay,
and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered them to pitch camp in a valley.
Okay.
And obviously they were coming back for a battle, so some Sahaba used to look out while the others were resting. A few of them used to be on guard.
Security.
To protect the other Sahaba. So then they needed some volunteers to take camp at night time, to look and to guard at night. So two Sahaba, they volunteered, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will keep guard. So okay. The rest of you go to sleep. So they spoke to each other and they said that we'll take it in turns. You go to sleep, I'll stay awake. And then I go to sleep, you stay awake and we keep guard. And if anything happens, we'll wake each other up. So the one Sahabi whose turn it was to keep guard, he started to preach Salah. It was Salah, he started to read Salah. And it's mentioned here that while he was stood for Salah, he was so absorbed in Surah Al-Kahf that an enemy climbed the hilltop and saw that he's reading Salah, that, you know, he's not keeping guard at the moment. He threw one arrow and it hit that Sahabi.
Allah.
What happened? The Sahabi carried on reading Salah. He threw another spear, another arrow, it hit him. He carried on reading. He was so engrossed in his Salah. Can you imagine the pain somebody would be in if you got hit by one spear? Third spear came. He carried on reading Salah. Then the Sahabi, he finished his Salah. When he fell to the ground, then he woke the Sahabi up next to him.
Allahu Akbar.
And the Sahabi said to him, what took you so long? You know, as soon as you get hit by a spear, you know you've been hit by a spear, wake me up. What was his beautiful reply? He said, but that Ansari Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala did not abandon Salah. He continued and he performed his ruku' and sujood, completing his Salah. Weak and in pain, he radiallahu ta'ala stretched out his hand and while in sajda, in sujood, and awakened his sleeping companion. The Sahabi noticed his critical condition of his companion bleeding from three different places. Obviously three spears had hit him.
Allah.
He asked, why didn't you wake me up when the first arrow hit you? Look at this reply. Who was the lover of Salah replied, I have started reciting Surah Al-Kahf in my Salah.
Allah.
I did not like to cut it short until I was struck with the third arrow. I was greatly concerned about the responsibility assigned to me. He knew I had decided that if I don't do anything, all the camp is at risk. So he said, I was greatly concerned about the responsibility assigned to me of keeping watch by the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Otherwise, I would have sacrificed my life.
Allah.
Since it was a responsibility, so I had to discharge it in most efficient manner. And when I found myself seriously injured, then I cut my salah short due to the sense of responsibility and awakened use of the act that the enemy could not attack us.
Allah.
He said that I would have given my life if it wasn't that the Holy Prophet ﷺ had given us the responsibility and that we were responsible for all the companions who were resting. Can you imagine this love for salah, this khushu and khuzu in salah, that being hit by arrows, but now I want to complete my salah. Let me read a little bit more Surah Kahf. Then when he got to that point that he couldn't bear it anymore, when he was in sujood, then he woke the companion up next to him. How are we? I've got a bit of a headache today, I'm not reading salah. You know, I've got a flu today, I'm not reading salah. A little bit of back pain, I'm not reading salah. Minor things, we forget just making salah shorter, we don't even read salah.
They used to have the taste of Quran, you see, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. They knew what the Quran was, the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. They had that love for every letter, how much reward they're getting. You know, we again
want to cut short that Surah Kahf and you wanted to recite.
Reading Surah Kahf in salah as well. Can you imagine here? How long Surah Kahf is and we're reading a salah?
We want to offer salah with the shortest surah possible.
And the other thing is here, when we are reading salah, do we know what we are saying? You know, we are praising Allah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Do we know what we are saying? Okay, you get the reward. Even if you don't know what you're saying, you get the reward. But when you know what you are saying, when you are speaking to Allah, that essence, you know, we said the state of your heart.
Yeah.
Is khushu. That state of your heart will be at the best when you know what you are saying.
SubhanAllah.
And you know that Allah is watching me. And you know what you are saying to Allah, yeah, Azza, what you are speaking. So we should all learn at least, you know, a few short surahs, their meanings.
Yeah.
You know, Surah Fatiha, the meaning. When we tashahud, the attahiyat, the meaning. Then you will see the sweetness and the essence of our salah, inshaAllah.
SubhanAllah. Very good.
You see people, you know, as you mentioned earlier, that we shouldn't look here and there. Even at home, even in the masjid, our thoughts are somewhere else, even our eyes are somewhere else. We're looking here and there in salah. When we're in ruku, we don't know where to look. When we're in sujood, we don't know how to do sujood properly. And one important point is mentioned here, that Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala saw a person performing ruku and sujood incorrectly during salah. So he radiallahu ta'ala said to the person, if you die whilst offering salah in the way that you have just read, your death will not take place in accordance with the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you read salah wrong, your ruku and your sujood wrong, you could not die on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's further mentioned that he was asked, how long have you been reading your salah like this? Incorrectly. The person replied, for 40 years.
Allah.
I've been reading my salah incorrectly for 40 years. Then what happened? Allahu Akbar, he radiallahu ta'ala said, for the past 40 years, you have not performed any salah.
Allah.
If you die in this state, your death will not take place according to the religion of Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu
40 years, just imagine, you know, us today, have we ever got our salah checked from the Imam Sahib, from a Qari Sahib, from an Alim Adin, from a brother of Dawat Islami, any knowledgeable brother, that please check, am I putting my hands properly? When I go to ruku, am I doing my ruku properly? Yeah. Am I doing my sujood properly? It's very important. Otherwise, you could be reading it and 40 years of your salah could not be accepted.
Allah.
Because you're reading it wrong. So I urge all the viewers of Madri channel as well, that get your salah checked. Get your qiraat, your tajweed checked, at least that much of your salah. Because, you know, the qiraat can change the meaning of salah as well.
Sure.
You know, and that is a massive, major error, which can change the meaning of salah. And where we read salah for getting reward, we could be getting sin.
Qazbi, we are talking about khushu, right? We're talking about focus and concentration. One of the beautiful ways ulama have mentioned, if one wants to get khushu and khudu in salah and focus, one of the ways is that he learns salah with proper rules and regulations, proper tajweed rules. Now what will happen when he will be offering salah and we'll be reciting Quran with proper rules and regulations? So he'll be focusing on every letter that I'm reciting it with its makhraj. I'm reciting it with proper articulation. I'm reciting from where the letter should be pronounced. And he'll be focusing on the rule which is applied, right? Whether he has to stretch there, Now subhanAllah, this focus will keep him within the salah. And he'll be also, as you earlier mentioned, if he knows the meaning, he'll be focusing on the meaning also. These are the beautiful ways one can attain focus and concentration. You see, people complain that whenever I offer salah, I don't get focus. The reason is they don't know the meaning of the salah. They don't know how to recite salah properly. Once you know, then definitely you'll implement that. And once you implement, automatically you will get focus. You will get concentration within your salah.
Let me tell you what the state of people is today. Once somebody was reading namaz by jamaat behind the imam sahab, and he was either asr or isha, 4 rakat salah.
Okay.
And after the salah, he went to the imam sahab and said, "Imam sahab, you missed out 1 rakat today. You read 3. Okay. Imam sahab said, "No, I read 4. He said, "No, you read 3. He said, "Okay, what proof have you got? You know, there's so many other people in jamaat here. Only you saying I read 3. Nobody else said I read 3. What proof have you got?" He said, "Imam sahab, I've got 4 businesses, 4 shops.
Allah.
In every rakat, I do 1 sab, I do the account of every shop. Today, I only done the account for 3 shops.
Allah.
That means you missed out one, because one every rakat, I do 1 account of every shop. You missed out 1. This is our mentality today.
Allah.
That the account of our shops we have to do. How much have we made? Profit, loss, sale, how much? We'll be doing it in salah, in the masjid, in the house of Allah, standing in front of Allah reading salah.
Allah.
You know, so again, you know, and this is one of the times shaitan tries to attack a person as well. Mm. That in salah, you know, think so many thoughts come to your mind.
It'll remind you everything you've forgotten.
That will happen many, you see, yeah. You know, all day you forget something, right? Oh, I need to do something, right? Or where you put something.
Yeah.
You know, or you need to do something.
Yeah.
And when you stand for salah, you remember that thing.
Yeah.
You know, just shaitan tries to take the focus away from your salah to make you remember these things. So we need to make sure, you know, that when we stand in salah, full concentration is on our salah.
What Qasbayd has mentioned in Ihya'ul Ulum that Sahabiya Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to talk with us. And we used to talk to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. When the time of salah would come, that we would become strangers, that even we don't know each other's, right? This would be our state, that completely lost, right? In a sense that you are presenting yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't know who is around you. That was the state of Sahaba Ikram, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and this was the state of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, in fact, which has been mentioned here. They would not recognize each other.
Right?
But before they were talking to each other, but as soon as the salah time is there, they are offering salah. So this was their condition, level of focus, level of concentration. And further, Qasbayd has mentioned that a few Sahaba Kiram, they would do ruku in a way, in such peaceful way, their bodies used to be still that even sparrows, the birds would come and sit on them.
SubhanAllah.
This was the state of focus and concentration of their salah. Allah.
SubhanAllah. Resumed by another beautiful account, Sayyidina Abu Ahwas rahmatullah alayhi states that a girl dwelling in the neighborhood of Sayyidina Mansur rahmatullah alayhi, she once came to her mom and she says that, "Mom, on that certain house, I used to see a stick there." Mm. Yeah? But it's for, so now I don't see that stick. That it's been there, like, and another account, it says somebody else said about the same house, there's a pillar there.
Allah.
Said, "There was a pillar, there's a stick on that house, used to always be there, whenever we used to look. That pillar is not there today." They were told that that was not a pillar, that was actually Sayyidina Mansur rahmatullah alayhi reading salah. That's how straight and focused and how long Allah. You stay for salah.
Allah.
People watching used to think he was a pillar or a stick. And then he has passed away, that's why he's no longer there. Can you imagine standing on your roof for hours
standing
on end?
Standing still.
Standing still and standing for hours on end
Allah.
As well.
Allah.
How still are we in salah, and how long are we in salah? You know?
Again, this is focus in salah, isn't
focus
it?
Focus in salah. The shortest surahs we read, we read as quick as possible. You know, some of us unfortunately will miss our sunnahs. Just read fard. Don't worry, I'm busy. I'll just read your fard and get salah out of the way. We see salah unfortunately as a burden today.
Mm.
You know, we mentioned in the previous episode that this is a gift. You know, gift of miraj.
Yeah.
That is a gift given by Allah to the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what are we doing with this gift?
Allah. Allah. But Qasbay, it has been mentioned in Ihya'ul Ulum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cast the sight of mercy upon that person who does not present his heart in salah. Meaning focus, Allah, concentration in salah. If his heart is not present, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cast the sight of mercy upon that person. So why we are offering salah? We are offering salah to receive mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to attain mercy of Allah, to attain rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if our salah is such that we are not able to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I don't think that purpose is fulfilled of salah. In another narration, it is mentioned in Hazrat Sayyiduna Sa'id Tanukhi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, when he would offer salah, he would cry in salah. He would weep in salah.
Allah,
but to the extent that continuously he would shed tears and his beard would become soaked.
Can you imagine his ummah? They knew what they were saying. Allah, yeah? When you know the kalam of Allah, what you are saying, how can tears not come to your eyes? When you know you are standing in front of the most merciful, yeah, the one who is giving us everything, how can you not cry? But that's our issue, is that we don't know what we're saying. We don't have focus, we don't have attention in salah. We are there fulfilling a formality and that's it.
Well, Qasbi, there are viewers watching right now, right? They could be thinking they're talking about khushu, they're talking about focus and concentration, they're talking about the excellences of khushu and qudu. But how can I get khushu? What is the way forward? How can I offer salah, and what way I offer salah that I get focused in salah? Because whenever I offer salah, I get distracted. Could you please explain any account of our pious predecessors or any formula or way that will help us to attain khushu and khudu, focus and concentration?
As we mentioned previously, that you know, shaitan puts different thoughts and thinkings in our mind. Yeah, so we need something to think of in salah, which is the right thing to think of and focus in our salah. Let me tell you the account of Sayyidina Hatim Asim rahmatullah alayh. Sayyidina Asim bin Yusuf Muhaddis rahmatullah went to visit him,
right,
and said, "Oh Sayyidina Hatim Asim, how is your salah? Do you read your salah?" He asked him, "Do you perform your salah properly?" He asked him, "Do you perform your salah properly?" He replied in the affirmative, "Yes." Then he says, "Let me tell you how I read my salah." And this is for the views of Madhi channel. We should see and implement this in our life. This is how we should read salah. He says, "When the time of salah comes, I perform my wuzu with all perfections and go to the place where I offer my salah." First thing is, perform your wuzu with proper perfection.
Yeah.
That's the first issue. That we, how is our wuzu today?
Yeah.
You know, how are we washing our arms properly? Are we doing our masa properly?
Do we know what are the fara'id?
Exactly. So we can't perform, because your salah is not accepted if your wuzu is not properly done. If the fara'id of wuzu are not done, your salah cannot be accepted. It's a condition of salah.
Yeah.
Precondition of salah. So wuzu must be done properly. Then he says, "I go to the place where I offer my salah. When the time of salah approaches, I step on the prayer mat and stand in such a manner that each joint of my body properly adjusts to its place." Yeah. Each joint, hands, Allahu Akbar, where each should be. So when you learn the method of salah, it says how to do your takbir tahrima, where to hold your hands, how to be in ruku, how to be. So he says, "I make sure each joint of mine is in the proper way." Then what does he say? He says, "Then I stand up for salah, visualizing the Kaaba in front of me and Maqam Ibrahim in front of me." Allah. So rather than getting, you know, thoughts of other things, visualize the Kaaba in front of you. Visualize Maqam, like you are standing in
Kaaba in front of your eyebrows.
Subhanallah. So you are actually seeing the Kaaba.
Subhanallah.
Then he says, I imagine the Maqam Ibrahim in front of me. Imagine my feet upon the bridge of Sirat.
Allah.
He says, I'm standing on the bridge of Sirat.
Now, Waqasbi, what is bridge of Sirat?
Bridge of Sirat is that bridge that we all have to cross one day to get into Jannah. Thinner than a grain of hair and sharper than the edge of a sword.
Allah.
And people will be falling off that and falling into Jahannam. Some will try to go across crawling on their knees. Some walking slowly, some running, some like the speed of light. Some are fast animals, you know, some angels will be. But this, just imagine that you're walking across there. My time has come.
Allah.
I have to cross this bridge. And you will see people going and trying to go on this bridge and falling into the valleys of hell.
Every soul has to cross that.
Allahu Akbar. Every soul has to cross that.
And now the Buzurg is saying that when I offer salah, I imagine that I am standing on top of bridge of Sirat.
Yes.
And I'm offering salah. Allahu Akbar. Respect, because this is the imagination the awliya Allah, they used to offer salah. Now if you have such imagination, how will you get distracted?
Subhanallah. He further says, "I imagine my feet upon the bridge of Sirat while standing, believing that Allah Azza wa Jal is aware of all the apparent and unapparent thoughts of my heart."
Allah.
So he knows that Allah, just imagine if we have that, that whatever I'm thinking, my mind, Allah is aware of that. I think this has been taken away, the essence from a lot of people's hearts today.
Yeah.
That Allah knows your inner and outer things that we do.
And both are connected to khushu.
Both are connected to khushu and your concentration and your focus in salah. Yeah. So whatever you're thinking, know that Allah knows what I'm thinking.
And the way you are behaving and your amal and action.
So if you're thinking about your business in your salah, know that Allah knows you're not thinking about Allah, but you're looking about your business. You're thinking about your business. So he says, "I'm aware while believing that Allah is aware of my apparent and unapparent thoughts of my heart." He says, "I imagine paradise is to my right and hell is to my left."
Allah, what a beautiful
So can you see that thought in your mind? Just imagine every time we're in salah, we're thinking this. And then what he further says, Allahu Akbar, he says, "So paradise is to my right, hell is to my left. And Israel, the angel of death, Allah is close behind me.
Allah.
He says, and I'm thinking that it may be my last salah of my life. Then I say the takbirat tahrima with full sincerity and devotion. Then start the recitation of the profound conference, concentration and contemplation. Then I perform my ruku and sujood to the utmost humbleness and in the beseeching manner that I finish my entire salah with humility and fear. One is to be humble, one is to fear. Can you imagine? Hell is there, my left. The angel of death is behind me. Any second, my life could be taken. This could be my last salah. Can you imagine if each and every one of us read our salah in the way of Sayyidina Hatim bin Asim rahmatullahi alayhi? How could we not have that love for salah? How could we not have that concentration and thinking in salah? But unfortunately, as we said, we know what our state is. Somebody asked him, Sayyidina Asim bin Yusuf asked him, that do you really read every salah in this way? Okay, sometimes you get this imagination. Do you read every salah in this way? Thinking about the bridge of Sirat and Jannah on your right, Jahannam on your left, angel of death behind you, Allah is watching me, Allah is aware of my thoughts and my heart and my mind. How can every salah? He says, I've been offering my each salah in the same way for 30 years.
Allah.
30 years we've been offering salah in this way.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Can you imagine, what? This was our pious predecessors. They knew the value of salah. True. They knew the value of the Quran. They knew this, the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah. And this is how they should pray their salah.
Subhanallah. And respected brothers of Madinah, one beautiful point we learned from here, that Sayyidina Hatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi used to offer salah thinking this is my last prayer. Qasbi, if this imagination alone we have, that the salah I'm offering, it may be the last salah I'm offering. Now imagine a person who has been issued a death penalty and he knows that this is the last prayer and after that I'll be hung.
Allah.
Now that person, imagine, he knows this is my last prayer. What would be the level of concentration, focus, khushu will he have in that prayer? Now, this is just to give you an example, okay? But if we believe that death can come anytime, and I never know this would be my last prayer. I've got one friend, he got stroke attack. And he was all fine. We met in Salatul Asr in Masjid. He was all fine. We met with him. And then what happened? I came to know that he had a stroke. I think it has been 3-4 months he has not been able to offer salah.
Okay?
Before he was in coma and now he's awake, but slowly he's improving. But I don't think he's still able to stand in salah and offer salah. Now, respective of Madani Shail, we never know. Anything can happen anytime. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa, give him cure, and he is able to offer salah. But as soon as I found out that he is in coma, initial few days, really, I had this understanding that anything can happen to me also. And the salah I'm offering, I should have this imagination in my mind that may it be the last one I'm offering. Because he was there with me in Salatul Asr. He was offering salah with me. And later I found out, and he is in coma. He cannot offer salah.
Allahu Akbar. But you know, one of the biggest tricks of shaitan is to give people a hope for a long life.
Long hopes.
You know? You're not going to die yet. Mm. You've got a long life. When you get to 60, 70, 80, then you keep the bed, then with your mama shiv, then go to the masjid, then pray. Now it's time for business. Now time to get married, have children, have this. And this long hope which shaitan puts into us makes us neglect the remembrance of Allah.
Sure.
So as you said, you know, anything could happen to any one of us. We could go outside in the morning, get hit by a car, and not go home in the evening. You know, recently there's been quite a few stories and of famous people. There was recently a footballer, he was coming on a private jet to play in the Premiership, in the Premier League. He was coming healthy, you know how healthy footballers are. He came, his plane crashed in the bottom of the sea. A few days later, his plane was found. Yeah? There was a football club, owner of a football club, who was going in a private helicopter after the match. What happened when he's going? His helicopter crashed, he died.
Allah.
Millionaires, billionaires, healthy, energetic people, they die. You know, you hear every day, you hear somebody such and such passed away. You get messages, we attend janazas. One day that will come, that mine and your name. The views of Madhi Channel, their name, we mentioned that they are dead. So don't expect, that's what we think, we're going to get old age, then we go to hospital maybe, then we pass away there. No. One second, we don't know about what's going to happen in the next second.
True.
And we plan for years to come. We plan for the next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, what we're going to do. But salah, we missed weeks, days go past. When you miss one salah, people say, oh, I missed it, I told no point to do the other four today. Or I missed the day, I'm not going to do the week today. And this way, weeks and months and years go past by. Unfortunately, people don't read their salah. So one thing is that we need to inform the viewers of Masjid Chhan as well, that anything we have missed, we must make sure we actually make up with them salah as well. One thing is to do tawbah, yes, but we also must make up the salah that we have missed as well.
Mashallah, mashallah. And especially because of Masjid Chhan, the point what we are discussing is death can come at any time. Now, we should have this imagination in our mindset. We should have such mindset that the salah I'm offering may be the last salah I'm offering before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we've got such understanding, definitely we'll get focused. We'll have khushu and khudu, insha'Allah, and that's how we should offer salah. Because we have discussed about our pious predecessors, the way they used to offer salah, and definitely there is a, alhamdulillah, message for us to learn, and we can copy their way. Inshallah, we can also attain khushu. What else would you like to mention for the viewers of Madani Channel, which they can learn, and inshallah, it will help them to attain khushu within their salah?
So, but in the dunya, whenever we want to do something, we learn how to do that.
Yeah.
We get a job, we get training.
Very good.
Yeah? We learn how to drive a car. You know, how many things need to be in place? We need to have road tax. First, we need to do a provisional license. Then we need to do the theory test. Then we need to do practical test. Then we need insurance. We need driving experience. So, same for salah. We have to learn what are the preconditions of salah. Before I start my salah, what needs to be in place?
Yeah.
You know? Wuzu, there's many things that have been mentioned. What are the preconditions of salah? Let's learn those. Then I have to learn that when I'm in salah, what things are important? What thing is a farz? What's wajib? What's sunnah in salah?
Yeah.
That if I miss this thing, is my salah broken? Can I make it out with sajda saf? Do I need to do sajda saf? I don't need to do sajda saf. See this. Then again in your sunnahs. Then afterwards, how to read our salah properly with tajweed, with qira'at. We mentioned that as well. So get training on salah. From beginning to the end, how to do it. And as we mentioned previously, think and know what you are reading. Inshallah, you will see the beautiful essence in your heart that you will yearn to read salah. When's the next salah? You know, what time is salah in the masjid? You'll keep the time table with you. Let me go and read salah. Okay, if you can't go to the masjid, at least we're not missing our salahs. So
mashallah,
learn how to do that thing properly and act upon that, inshallah.
Mashallah. Especially because of Madani Channel, a few more points ulama they've mentioned, adding further to the brother Waqas has mentioned, that we need to make sure that all the manners of salah, they are intact. Right? Whatever there are sunnahs and manners, they are intact. And especially when we are offering salah, we should make sure that our sight, where we are looking, it is at the place where we have to do sajda. Because this is also part of your khushu, that you are not looking around, you're not looking here and there. And that will inshallah give you focus that you are offering salah and your sight, you should be exactly the place where you are going to do ruku. When you are doing a ruku, at that moment, Waqasbi ulama have mentioned that you should look at your toes, because that will be the place from where the ruh will be seized, taken out from your body. So you can imagine that this is the point. It will give you more focus in salah, inshallah. Further, it is said when you are sitting, you should look in your lap. Right? And when you are in sujood, when you're doing sajda, you should look right in your on your nose. And these are the points, if you focus within your salah, inshallah, it will give you more concentration, more focus. Respectively, with whatever I'm mentioning, they are some of them are sunnahs of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of them are the adab. And we need to learn it. How can we learn? Alhamdulillah. The beauty of Dawat Islami is we do not just highlight problems. We also give you solution. Madani Qafil of Dawat Islami is the best place to go and you can learn practical method of salah. Alhamdulillah. Those they have been to Madani Qafila, they have learnt it. And those they have yet not been to Madani Qafila, I invite them, you travel in Madani Qafila, and you will see inshallah, the brothers of Dawat Islami will make you stand and they will correct each and every act of salah, inshallah, azzawajal, and they will teach you according to the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the method of even raising your hands according to sunnah? What is the method of putting your hands? And what is the method of ruku? What is the proper way of doing sujood? What is the proper way of sitting? And each and everything is taught according to the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And once you learn that, and when you, inshallah, focus and you do accordingly, definitely this will give you additional concentration and focus in salah.
SubhanAllah. One other way to get focus in salah is to go and read with jamaat in the masjid as well. You know, the masjid has been mentioned as the fort against shaitan. You know? So we should go, and one way to correct our salah, if we don't read our salah properly with tajweed, read behind the imam sahab. Listen to his salah in congregation. Stand with the brothers. You'll have more focus, as we mentioned, when you're in the masjid. There's a couple of beautiful hadiths mentioned. The first by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, whoever would go to the masjid in the morning or evening, as many times Allah Azza wa Jal will arrange a feast for him in the morning or evening in Jannah.
Subhanallah.
So Allah gives a feast for that person in Jannah who goes to the masjid. The one who's, when's the next salah? His heart is attached to the masjid, keeps going to the masjid, keeps coming and going to the masjid. He will be one of the seven people who will be under the shade when there will be no other shade, the shade of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. He'll be under that shade on the Day of Judgment. So those who love salah, those who love the masjid, you know, when you love something, you want to do it more. You love your children, you want to spend time with them. You love wealth, you go out there and earn wealth. You love food, you pick it up and you eat it. You love salah, you want to read it. You want to yearn, when is the next salah? Have all the things we discussed in today's episode. Get these things together. Your faraiz, your wajibat, your preconditions. Get there. Read salah properly. Know Allah is watching you. Know Allah knows what you are thinking. Have these feelings with your heart and your mind. Inshallah, you'll have the love for salah. Put the things in place which will give you the love for salah. Implement that, and inshallah, you will see the love and the passion in your heart for salah.
Subhanallah. Because I would like to end on this account. Beautiful account. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, says that in my childhood, I saw a pious woman, right, who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I saw that she was offering salah, that lady, pious lady, and scorpion bit her 40 times.
Allah.
But there wasn't any difference observed in the state of her salah.
Allah.
40 times scorpion bit her. Allah. When she got free from offering salah, and was asked, why did you not remove the scorpion? She replied, oh son, you're still young. You're still child. How was it possible that I was busy in the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I would do my own work?
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, this was the state of salah of our pious predecessors.
There's also the account of, you know, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, when he was reading salah, the snake was coming in his clothes and in and out of his sleeves, and he was so focused in salah still. Can you see these pious predecessors?
Allah.
Spiders and scorpions biting them. Snakes coming out of their bodies. The Sahaba being hit by spears. They don't want to read their salah. And we again, headache, cough, you know, back pain. Why can't we salah today?
Even flies, they come that we get distracted.
Allahu Akbar.
Right? A little rash is there, or itch is there, right? We start doing that and we cannot control ourselves. Look at our pious predecessors. The scorpion bit 40 times. But the level of their consciousness, the level of their focus, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a little share from their seerah, life and legacy. And we also attain concentration, khushu and khudu. My respected viewers of Madani Channel, we try to present a few accounts of our pious predecessors. We try to mention a few rulings. We try to explain you what is khushu. We explain you what is focus. And we try to give you a way forward. What is the method of attaining khushu and khudu, and how our pious predecessors, they used to attain that. I hope you must have benefited from today's program. That's all for today, inshallah, azza wa jal. We'll be back with another beautiful program, with another beautiful and interesting topic. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Keep watching Madani Channel.
Sins take you away from Allah. Salah takes you back to Allah. Leave the sins, perform your salah. Salah is the gift of Mi'raj. Salah is the gift of Mi'raj.